T-shirts are one of our wardrobe staples, and there are 2 billion sold and bought every year. But I still struggle to buy them to fit me, and in this episode, I'll share more about that and my 5 reasons why I think that you should make your own. So stay tuned. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the So Mindful podcast, where we dig into the tips and topics that will help you have great fun making clothes that make you feel fabulous. I'm your host, Jackie Blakemore of So Much More Fun, and I can't wait to share this week's illuminating episode with you. So let's roll the tape. Well, hello. It's lovely to be here with you again, and today I want to talk t-shirts. It's one of those humble wardrobe staples, but I have to say, I find it one of the most challenging items to buy. So why are t-shirts so hard to buy? Well, because my hips are a couple of sizes bigger than my bust, when I try to buy t-shirts, I often find that if they fit at the shoulders, they're too tight, or at least tighter than I would like around my tummy and hips. And if I size up so that they fit comfortably across my hips, then they look a bit like a tent at the top. I also like to match my t-shirt with the rest of my outfit, so getting just the right colour can be also a challenge. I think my mum had a skirt in her wardrobe for about a year trying to find just the right colour t-shirt to go with it, so maybe it's a hereditary trait. So before I get into my solution for t-shirt buying problems, and spoiler alert, that's the 5 great reasons to make one, I wanted to share some interesting facts that I found out while doing some research for this little chat with you. Now, I say that these are facts, but I do have to add a disclaimer that they are things that I found by Googling, so they may or may not be true, but I still think they're interesting. So as you may know, the humble t-shirt has its roots back in the late 19th century, when it was worn as an item of men's underwear. It was originally made from a variety of fibres, including cotton, linen and wool. And then in the early 20th century, brands such as Hanes and Cooper's began producing their men's underwear garments that became the t-shirts that we know today. They were originally called bachelor undershirts, and it's hard to believe that name didn't catch on. But it seems that the people preferred the name t-shirt, which is attributed to F. Scott Fitzgerald, who coined the term in his book This Side of Paradise. One of the key features of the t-shirt was that it didn't have any buttons. Because it was so lightweight, it became popular in the First World War as part of the uniforms. Because they'd spent so much time wearing them, after the war was over, men started wearing them not just as underwear, but as an item in their own right. And although t-shirts with the name Oz printed on them appeared in the Wizard of Oz film in 1939, it was in the 1950s when the t-shirt became more of a fashion item. The iconic role of Marlon Brando in A Streetcar Named Desire brought the t-shirt back onto the big screens. The 1960s developments in technology and inks made the printing of t-shirts on a large scale possible. The t-shirt became a way of showing our allegiances, our affiliations, our likes and our dislikes. It became a representation of identity. And iconic t-shirts stick in our memories, like the Lips and Tongue t-shirt of the Rolling Stones, the Che Guevara t-shirt, and Nike's Just Do It slogans on t-shirts as well. It became a tool of rebellion and protest, and printed t-shirts are still used in that way today. Even recently, at the King's coronation in the UK, protesters used yellow t-shirts to state, "Not my king." But because of its role as a tool of expression in society, its often relatively low price tag, and our fashion culture, 2 billion t-shirts are now sold globally each year. And that's taking a toll on our environment. I watched 2 great videos that I'll put links to in the show notes about the life cycle of a t-shirt and the resources it takes to make it. I'd highly recommend watching them, but spoiler alert, they don't point to a happy ending for the environment, I'm afraid. I did learn, though, that it takes 6 miles of yarn to make the jersey required to make a t-shirt. And it takes around 40 metres of thread to sew up a woman's t-shirt, according to the Coats Threads website. But it didn't make any mention of how much extra you need to allow for unpicking, so I'll leave that up to you. A few other fun facts, though, just to lighten the mood. According to the Guinness World Records, at the time of recording, the largest t-shirt ever made is 108.96 metres long, 73.48 metres wide, which is the size of a rugby pitch. It was made from fabric made from 250,000 recycled bottles to encourage more people to recycle. It took a month to sew, and after the world record, the t-shirt was broken down into 10,000 items of clothing for underprivileged children. The most expensive t-shirt is said to be a diamond-studded t-shirt from Superlative Luxury for $400,000. But I couldn't seem to find that one on Amazon. I did manage to find a wool jersey t-shirt for £1,900 on the Zegna.com website. And I have to be honest and say that for that price, I'd expect it to come with a really fit man who was also great at cooking and gardening. So why am I sharing all of this fascinating information with you? Well, it's because I'd like to try to persuade you that there's an alternative to buying t-shirts with their high environmental impact, and that's to make your own. So here's my five great reasons to make your own t-shirt. Reason one is custom fit. So my primary reason for making t-shirts is that I can't buy them to fit my uniquely me proportions. When you make your own t-shirts, you get to decide what sizes you want it to be at the bust, waist and hip, and how tight you want it to be. I did talk a lot about ease preference in episode 59, and thanks to all of you that messaged me to say how useful you found that. When I have a t-shirt that fits me, I'm more likely to wear it and to keep wearing it. So I think that is environmentally more friendly. Reason number two is choice. So my second reason for making t-shirts is that I get to choose exactly what fabric, colour and style I want to suit the purpose of the t-shirt or the outfit I will wear it with. I really like more flared t-shirts with things like skinny jeans, and I like more boxy t-shirts for the gym or workouts. I'm not overly fond of a crew neck, so I get to choose scooped or V-neck styles. I'm also quite partial to a raglan sleeve. But the point is that you get to decide what style you want, and you get to mix it up to suit you and your lifestyle. Reason number three is quality and durability. So this follows on closely from reason number two, in that I can choose the quality of fabric I want to use to make my t-shirt. I can choose fabrics that comply with eco standards, such as Global Organic Textile Standards, GOTS, for textiles made from organically produced natural fibres, or Ecotex, for fabric manufactured in sustainable processes under environmentally friendly and socially responsible working conditions. You can choose the thickness of your fabric to ensure that it will last longer so you don't have to make as many garments. But do remember to pre-wash it before cutting out to avoid it fitting like a crop top after you first wear it and wash it. Reason number four is speedy make. So if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, especially if you're in the UK, you might be thinking, but Jackie, summer's almost over. How am I going to fit in making a t-shirt now? Well, I have great news for you in that a t-shirt is quite a quick return project. Once you find patterns that you like, t-shirts are relatively speedy things to make because they usually don't have many pieces. This means that they are quick to cut out. Also, because they're made from stretchy fabric, you often don't have to sew things like darts. And because there aren't many pieces to them, they sew up really quickly. But I'm not advocating creating your own fast fashion t-shirt factory. You can still take as much time as you want to create your wonderful t-shirt, but it's less likely to take as much time or effort as a shirt or a blouse, for example. Reason five is one pattern, many options. So once you do find a pattern or style that you like and you get a fit that you love, you can still quite easily customise each t-shirt that you make with different options, and many patterns come with different style options too. So that might be different neckline options, V-necks, crew necks, boat necks, different sleeve styles or different sleeve lengths. And you can also cut your pattern up to create your own colour blocking versions. To do that, all you need to do is simply trace off a copy of your pattern, draw on your style lines for your different coloured sections, cut your pattern along those style lines, and then add seam allowances to each side that you've cut. And just in case five reasons aren't quite enough to convince you, I also asked ChatGPT for a bonus reason that might seal the deal, and it didn't disappoint. So your bonus reason number six is secret pockets. This made me laugh so much when I read it. Here's the actual response.
Delight your inner secret agent with hidden pockets in your homemade t-shirts. Share the fun and practicality of adding secret pockets to store small items like keys, coins, or a snack for later.
I particularly like that one.
This quirky addition can add an element of surprise and uniqueness to your t-shirt creations.
Thank you for that helpful little tip, ChatGPT. But whether they're secret or not,
it's true that you can add pockets to your makes.
So if I have managed to convince and inspire you, then you'll probably want some ideas of patterns to get you started. There are loads of free patterns out there of varying quality. And if you Google t-shirt sewing pattern, then you'll be able to take your pick. I'll add some links in the show notes to places where you can get some of those free patterns. Lots of the t-shirt patterns are very similar for a standard t-shirt shape, but there are also some really pretty variations. In the free patterns list, there is the Deer and Doe Plantain t-shirt. I've made quite a few of these because I really like the scoop neckline and the flare at the hip. I still can't believe it's free, it's a really good pattern. I also like the style of the Vera Knit Top, which is a free pattern from Forget Me Not Patterns. It's not strictly a t-shirt as it has longer sleeves. It has a V-neck and a couple of bishop sleeve options, but you could shorten those to a t-shirt length. I haven't tried this one yet, but it is on my list. There are a couple of patterns that have a layered crossover. The Life So Savory Crossback Tank, which is a sleeveless t-shirt, but has a two-piece back that overlaps. And also the Tulip Tee from Patterns for Pirates. That has a few different style options, one of which is a crossover, which you can wear at the front or the back, with two overlapping curved front pieces. And I also like the Elise Tee from Fine Motor Skills, which is more of a slouchy t-shirt style. All of those are free, and I'll put links in the show notes. But I also really like the Lark Tee from Grainline Studios, a great foundational pattern, as it has lots of options for necklines and sleeve lengths. It is quite a long t-shirt though, so I usually have to shorten it quite a bit. The Merlot Field Tee by Sew House 7. This is one of my favourite workout t-shirts, as I like the contrast band on the sleeve and the curved hem. These are both paid patterns, and I've made several of each. The instructions are great and they're easy to make. The Fold Line also did a great article on the not-so-basic t-shirt patterns, covering patterns with some other design details, so I'll also give you a link to that. These include details such as unusual yokes, elasticated sections, square necklines, balloon sleeves, gathered necklines and flutter sleeves. So the last thing I wanted to share is just my top tips on making t-shirts. So be sure to pre-wash your fabric. I find that jerseys are more prone to shrinking, so make sure that you wash your fabric before cutting it out in the same manner that you plan to wash your finished garment. You can cut out your t-shirt fabric with scissors or a rotary cutter. Some jersey fabrics roll up at the edges once you've cut them, especially if you stretch them out, so the less you handle them, the better until you're ready to sew. Be careful cutting notches in jersey fabrics as it can cause the fabric to unravel, so keep them small. And check the seam allowance on your pattern. Some patterns for stretch fabrics assume that you'll sew it directly on the overlocker, so they only have 3/8 of an inch or 1 centimetre seam allowance. You can sew your t-shirt on your sewing machine, but I'd recommend getting a jersey or stretch needle. Sew your seams with a narrow zigzag stitch. I tend to use a 1 to a 1.5 width and a 2.5 length. Test your stitches on a scrap of fabric first to make sure the needle type and tension are okay, and that the seam has a bit of stretch without breaking the stitches. Even if I assemble my main seams directly on the overlocker, I tend to attach my neck band with the sewing machine in case it goes wrong, because it's just easier to unpick. There is a great video by Melly Sews about neck bands, so I'll put a link to that in the show notes. For professional looking hems, try a twin needle. This gives two rows of straight stitches on the right side and a zigzag on the wrong side, which allows the hem to stretch. I'd recommend practicing with these first though if you haven't used them before, because you have to stitch them from the right side and you just need to get your eye in as to where to gauge to set your stitch line. And lastly, have fun with it. These are relatively easy projects to have a go, so please give them a try. So that's all I have for you this week, a compact and bijou episode. I had a lot of fun prepping this episode, so thanks for letting me share that all with you. If you're inspired and do have a go, or if you have a favourite pattern and want to share, then please do get in touch by email or direct message me. All the details will be in the show notes. Have an amazing week, and I'll speak to you again soon. Well, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Check out the show notes in the description area of your podcast app and click to follow or subscribe. Or head over to sewmindful.com/podcast, which is sewmindful.com, where you can also sign up for an email reminder so that you don't miss out on any juicy episodes. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, then please help others find us by leaving a review if you love this episode. And I'm always excited to find out what you got from the episode and how you plan to use the tips. And finally, if you have a question, feedback, or a topic you'd like me to investigate, then you can also email me at hello@somuchmorefun.co.uk. So until next time, stay gorgeous and have so much more fun.